Joining us now from the Bay Area News Group, Kerry Crowley. Kerry was here last night watching Austin Slater hit opposite field home runs, watching Pablo Sandoval flip his bat, hit dingers. And we were talking about Slater's inside-out approach yesterday. These probably weren't home runs a year or two ago.
Yeah, I think if they're using the 2018 ball that Major League Baseball used a season ago, and really the seasons before that, the three home runs that we saw hit last night at Oracle Park don't get out. Sandoval's was a first row shot. Goldschmidt's just got on above that ledge on the arcade, and Slater's barely got out as well. And these are just balls that are carrying way more than you would expect them to off the bat. I mean, Slater had a pitch right down the middle. He did a nice job getting the barrel on it, but he even said after the game, you know, he didn't think it was out right away. And you saw his reaction getting out of the batter's box. Looked a little surprised at how far he initially hit it.
What's the plan for him, like, as far as where he's going to play? Because yesterday we were talking about it here before the game started. Seemed like he was facing lefties down in Southern California against the Padres. Are they just going to use him against lefties? Is that the plan for him right now, you think?
Well, Bruce Bochy initially said it was going to be more of a platoon in right field with Slater and Mike Yastrzemski, but we're going to see Slater get a start today against Cardinals right-hander Jack Flaherty, and I think that the Giants do want to take a look at how he fares against right-handed pitching. He looked good last night in that pinch hit appearance, and so you want to see what you can get because he's a guy who can play all over the field. We haven't seen him go anywhere other than the corner outfield spots this season, but I think eventually you'd like to work him in at second base or maybe even third base during the second half just to see how he handles those spots defensively.
I was going to ask about that because second base is really the sort of the lone spot that you don't have a platoon for with a right-handed bat. I know you're using Donovan Solano between both of them, but he's proved that he's capable at shortstop. I'd love to see an infield where you've got Solano at short and Austin Slater at second base.
It would be really interesting to see the Giants try that out during the second half, and maybe it'll wait until after the trade deadline when things kind of get settled down and they have a little bit more opportunity to evaluate younger players in these types of roles. But Donovan Solano's not one of those young guys. He's 31 already.
Right.
He had several seasons of major league experience, hadn't been in the league since 2016, but he has done a really nice job, especially over the last few weeks. The 10-game hit streak filled in really nicely for Brandon Crawford defensively at shortstop down in San Diego. And he got the big hit that keyed Wednesday's win when they were coming back against the Padres. They were down 4-3. Solano punches the ball to right field. And so if you're able to get Solano and Slater to a point where they're playable together in the infield, I think it gives you a big option there against left-handed pitchers that you just haven't had for the last several seasons.
Wrapping up the...
Marty says no way. Yeah. He says no way.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't like home runs.
I want to see them experiment. We see the Dodgers do things like this all the time.
Max Muncy's playing
the
second base. You know what I mean? They're running
and now that the, now
there.
The fries are done, the headset comes on because Marty disagrees.
He disagreed, so here
we go.
Go to Scottsdale if you want to see that. Spring training. You don't want to see Solano and Slater in that infield.
Why
I'm
not?
Sorry.
What's wrong with
Why
that?
Why not? Because it's not a winning infield.
But we're just talking about platoon splits here.
Once in a while, you can do it.
That's what we're talking about. Once in a while, against a left-handed pitcher, throw it on out there, see what happens.
Crawford in panic. Yeah,
maybe if it's a six-inning, you know, quality start for those guys, like Bruce Bochy likes to say, and then when the right-handed
Billy
pitchers come
no.
in,
oh,
well, if Billy
no.
says no, then it's off the board altogether.
Okay. Hey, you know, one thing I did want to point out to you guys is the pinch hitting. Do you realize Sandoval is the second most at-bats as a pinch hitter in the National League? Matt Joyce of Atlanta has the most.
Forever Giant.
Former Giant, yeah.
With 12, he's 12 for 49. Sandoval, 14 for 39. Has the most pinch hits in the National League. How about that?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all because he's been so good in those situations. It feels like whenever he comes up as a pinch hitter, the Giants have a lot of confidence that he's going to get a hit, and Bruce Bochy's done a nice job picking out spots for him where he can come in as a left-handed bat against a right-handed pitcher. And granted, his splits are almost even this year. He's slugging way better from the left side of the plate, but it's been really fun to watch Pablo come up in those pinch hit situations, especially at home because the crowd really does get into it when Pablo comes to the plate.
And I said last night, Kerry Crowley joins Adam and I. Nice to be back here. I had my French fries today. Don't trade him. You're not getting anything for him anyway. You're going to get a C prospect. He means more to this team being here, being in the clubhouse, being part of whatever's going on, than whatever you're going to get back for him. Do not trade him.
I also think you can make a really compelling argument to re-sign him this offseason because...
Not so fast.
Well, Marty, look at their depth. Third base, first base, they've got Zach Green at AAA, but aside from that, where are the prospects coming up at those positions? Logan Wyatt was the second-round draft pick this year, but he's going to be a few years away. If you can get Pablo Sandoval back on a one-year deal, I think you do it.
Well, I'm not ready to say that yet, because if that's the best you can do for Farhad, if that, you know, when you're putting the team together, you got to have Sandoval here. I'm not so sure. But look, he's having a great year. Can he be in shape? Can he do it again? And what are you going to pay him? Because the Boston thing now expires. What are you going to pay Sandoval to come back?
A guy like Derek Dietrich last year, a super utility player, had to sign a minor league deal. $2 million guaranteed once he did make that active roster in Cincinnati. But I don't think Sandoval is going to be commanding anything more than $4 to $5 million over 1 year. So I think that he could be a real value play this offseason. And he presents more value to the Giants than he does to any other organization, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I say don't trade him now, though.
No, I don't think so.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Well, end of the first half, we found out you're going to the media is going to talk with Farhan in a couple hours here in about an hour or so. What are you expecting to hear from him?
It's going to be really interesting to see how Farhan plays this, because there are going to be questions about his approach at the trade deadline, what he's thought of the club so far, if he's comfortable selling, because he wasn't saying that back in spring training. And so this is the first time we've talked to him in more than a month in a group setting. And I think that we're going to learn a lot about his philosophy today. We're going to see, how he stacks up compared to previous Giants regimes, because really everyone understands that they need to sell. Is he going to be the first person to come out and say that?
What would he do if they were 48 and 40?
Sell.
Instead of 40 and 48.
48 and 40, that's a very different question, because if they were 48 and 40, I think that'd be good enough to be leading the National League wildcard race.
That's correct.
Right.
I think the leader is four games over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they were 500? Would you still trade everybody?
I think it depends less about the record and more about how many teams you're behind in the wild card race right now. The Giants are behind so many teams. And so granted, it's only a 5.5 or 6.5 game deficit in the standings, but some of these teams are going to go 8-2 on a weekly basis, and the Giants are not. And so you have to figure out how you stack up compared to all those teams. Do you match up with Washington? Do you match up with Atlanta, Philadelphia, Chicago, the Reds? So there's so many different teams that they're behind right now, and I think that that would play a significant role.
All right, so no matter what, things are going to be popping around here.
That's what I think.
Well, they're not in a position where these assets are not expiring contracts, right? You've got so many pieces that will just leave, it feels like, after the season's over anyway, right? I mean, Will Smith, are you going to spend money on bringing him back once the season's over? Madison Bumgarner, what's he going to command on the open market? I just don't see where that makes sense for them, even if they were a 500 team.
I think you can make a compelling case to bring Bumgarner back.
I don't think
they're going to do it, but Will Smith's probably going to be a 3-year, $40 million guy come free agency. He's an elite reliever. He's an elite left-handed reliever, and that presents value to a lot of teams. Bumgarner, I still think that the Giants believe that he's better than the rest of the league believes he is. And so I think that even under Farhan, they could potentially bring him back. It's not something that's been discussed much, just because his free agency is something that we know he wants to explore at the end of the year. And so it'll be interesting.
It is, because they're having fun now.
They are.
The fans are having fun. I'm having fun. You're having fun. Carmen is sort of having fun. But
Carmen's a pro.
You know, she's getting ready for Triples Alley.
She's got a
Triples Alley face on this morning.
Yeah.
But they're having fun now, and then it's going to be broken up.
This is not something we've seen over the past two seasons, Marty. It really isn't. The energy that guys like Alex Dickerson, Austin Slater have infused in this club, Sean Anderson, Tyler Beattie have done a really nice job. They've got a cast of characters down in that bullpen who really meshes well and adds a lot to the clubhouse chemistry. And you've got guys like Pablo Sandoval who are playing well. So it's been more enjoyable to watch for Giants fans. And really, I think this is the most fun the players have had over the past two seasons, just this little two-week stretch here where they've started to hit.
Yeah, I'm having a lot more fun personally, Marty. It's more fun to watch when guys are leaving the ballpark with home runs.
Well, the games are better. You know, they're scoring runs.
They're competitive.
You know, you don't score runs, it looks like you're not trying. And it's not the core guys.
No.
That's the interesting part. I mean, Belt, as Adam and I were talking about, he gets his walk or two. Posey gets his single or two. Crawford gets his double every once in a while. Longoria went nuts in San Diego. It'd be nice to see him do something here. But it's the other guys. And, you know, it's become interesting. It's fun with the other guys.
And it's really interesting to see these guys come in and assume different roles. So Kevin Pillar started off as a right fielder. He started off as a center fielder. The Giants shifted him over to right field when they wanted Steven Duggar to take more opportunities there. And now he's the only outfielder playing on an absolutely everyday basis, leading the team in RBIs, has come up clutch several times for this club this season. And so you've seen him kind of come along nicely and settle in with the Giants. You've seen Alex Dickerson, Austin Slater, Mike Yastrzemski, Gretzky, Tyler Austin, all kind of file into their roles. Steven Vogt has been a really strong backup catcher option to Buster Posey. He hits the ball well, and the starting pitching has been interesting of late when you've got Sean Anderson and Tyler Beede on the mound, because they're two young guys. The Giants still don't know quite what to expect from them, but each time out, you learn a little bit more, and that's intriguing, that's interesting, and it's something that we haven't had as much of.
Steven Vogt could get traded.
He could. He absolutely could. There's value there, and you just bring in Aramis Garcia to fill up that backup spot if you trade Steven Vogt.
And then it comes to our favorite player, Drew Pomeranz. Oh. What do you do with him?
Well, if someone takes him, someone takes him. I don't think that you're marketing him as a starting pitcher, but any club that would be willing to acquire him can look at his strikeout numbers and see that he can still miss some bats on a daily basis. Maybe a club like the Houston Astros that have had good luck kind of converting these pitchers with two pitches, fastball, curveball guys, can come out and figure out a way to refine Drew Pomeranz's offerings and have a little bit more success with him as a long reliever or a one-out guy in the playoffs.
What about Kevin Pillar? Is he at a market right now? I know he's under contract for next year.
I do think there is a market for Pillar. You look at a team like the Phillies, who really don't have a solid situation in center field. Odubel Herrera is out for the season. So you look at teams like that where maybe you need a fourth outfielder. You need someone who can go out and play center field in a pinch. I think Kevin Pillar presents a good option for those teams.
I agree with you. I agree.
That's increasingly rare.
He thinks Kevin Pillar is good depth, but you can't use Austin Slater and Don Solano on the same infield.
Yeah.
Well, Pillar is a guy who swings at that first pitch. He can steal a base. He can play decent outfield. He's not Superman. He's got power. And with the new baseballs today, the guy's got a swing that takes the ball out of the park. Fly ball rate. That's my new thing now. You show me guys with a good fly ball rate, I'll show you a guy who can help you.
If he sticks around, Marty, I got a question for you. Is he the Giants' first 20 home run hitter since 2015?
Let's see, who's got what here?
You've got Belt with 11, Longoria with 11, Pablo 11, Pillar with 12.
Yes.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, I say Pillar's the first
Marty
one
has spoken.
20.
The fans have heard. Yeah. Kevin Pillar will hit 20 home runs if he stays with the Giants.
Does it count like McCutcheon leaving and hitting 20 last year?
No, it's got to be right here.
Nope.
All right, we have our original Joe's question to get in the pool for August, the score of the game today, and something unusual that will happen in the game today. And I got on this because of last night, all the crazy things that happened. Give me something unusual that could happen today in this game.
Last game of the first half, the probability increases of a starting pitcher coming out of the bullpen. So maybe we see Sean Anderson. Maybe we see Drew Pomeranz if Jeff Samardzija has a short start.
I like it.
That's a good guess.
That's probably a very good guess because they needed seven innings yesterday. And if they have sort of a lead, you're not turning it over to the guys who sort of don't get in there, so to speak, unless the game's out of hand. All right, very good. Very good, Kerry. Very good. What's up for you on the break? And then we'll hopefully talk to you from Milwaukee next week.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to you from Milwaukee. Headed back there for the grueling trip where we go from Milwaukee to Denver, and we fly out on Sunday night and have to wake up in Denver, and there's two games. That'll be fun. That'll be interesting to see how the Giants fare. But for the break, headed down to Phoenix, Marty.
Oh, you're home. Yeah, you'll be in the heat.
The 110-degree weather just can't keep me away.
It's a dry heat.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. It's
Don't
easy.
Worry about it. Last thing for you, Milwaukee, is it one of your cities? Do you like Milwaukee?
I do like Milwaukee. I like it a lot. I'm staying out in Brookfield this time at the recommendation of Henry Shulman. He's a fan of Brookfield, the suburb out there. Thinks it's a great spot. And so with hotel prices up in the city, we're out in the suburbs.
Well, there's probably a lot of fast food if I know Henry. Right? So there's probably a lot of
Can I give you a no comment?
Probably a lot of fast food for that. Well, great to have you on. Where are the folks today?
Back at home today. Back at home.
Very good. Well, enjoy it. You've been great the first half of doing this stuff. We love having you on, and you have such a great knack for explaining things on the radio. You do a great job.
Well, thank you, Marty. I look forward to the second half.
All right. Good. Thanks, Kerry. And, well, follow you on Twitter. After Farhan talks, make sure you tweet something out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
we'll have all the news from that conversation. Bruce Bochy at 11:15. We'll learn more about
Perfect.
Madison Bumgarner. And then 11:30, we'll talk to Farhan.
Great. Thanks, Kerry.
Thanks, Kerry.
All right. Kerry Crowley right here live at the Public House. Always a pleasure. More coming up right after this.